So we're going to try to see where we resolve this transit issue. So we'll start with 1A036. Supervisor Lipscomb. Could you guys, we're starting, okay?
Next amendment is 1A036 by Supervisor Lipscomb.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move approval of 1A036. This amendment, a couple of things here. So it starts with an affirmation that we would continue the services of MTS Inc. through 2014 unless terminated earlier, and that termination would properly come before the board. It should not be a unilateral decision, notice should not be given without an action of this county adopting a change in policy. So I think that this is important, that we use 2014, that we have some continuity. We have a number of things going on in 2014, not least of all installation of the new fare boxes and changes in the payment systems and those sorts of things. So I think we should maintain the course there and not switch horses at this time. But I do think that this whole issue, I think the whole issue of switching providers, on the executive's side, kind of originated with the paratransit contracts. I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where they got the idea that this was a critical need that they wanted to shift away from MTS. While I understand that that's one reaction to what happened, I think an at least equally viable response to all of this is that that contract issue exposed the situation that we have with transit. And that is that for 3 or 4 decades, we've essentially had a system where you contract for management, and everything else is in a black box. And they contract and run your system for you, and you don't know too much. They do their own union negotiations, offer their own health plan, have their pension system, and you pay the bill. They also have their wholly owned bureaucracy. So that's legal, that's HR, it's risk management, it's procurement. It all exists in duplicate over there. In many ways, a lot of it is sort of a parallel system. Sometimes it's even people who used to work for us are now over there running that system because they kind of understand our system. But it's almost all in a black box. So you contract for two people, and everything else, you get what they do. You see nothing. You see very little. I'll say that. I've been struggling for 5 years to figure this out. I've been asking why we have this system. No one has been able to give me good answers about it. I know when the county exec came in, I asked about it, and he seemed interested in digging into that too. I don't know when he lost interest in that and decided that he just wanted to contract with someone else, and that he didn't want to reevaluate the system of whether or not it should be brought in-house. But I'm convinced that we have everything to gain from opening this thing up and understanding it better. I think we're fully capable of doing that. Our transportation department, is able to manage an airport division. We're able to manage General Mitchell International Airport. We can certainly manage a transit system. There's nothing. There should be nothing about this that scares people. I think having more than a year to plan that transition is appropriate, and so I wouldn't want to do it hastily. But I think if we don't do this, I think we're in a very bad position in 2014 in terms of what direction we're taking our transit system. And I would encourage members to vote for this.
Supervisor Haas? Schmidt?
Thank you. This is a lot of food for thought. I don't know, I might have to talk to a couple people personally on this. Although I think all of us were disturbed by the lack of information or lack of answers we had to a lot of our questions about the contract and where the money is and where this money is. So I certainly have some sympathy for that. I also understand, I think we all realize that, there's a suit going on, to think that it's going to be, decided pretty quickly is not going to happen. This is going to go on into 2014 anyway. So on one hand, I say that, well, we're going well into 2014. I think we're going to just switch around in the court case, and then we should eventually. I want to make sure we have some say in this too, because it's certainly looked upon as some board oversight. Although we really don't have much oversight, I think as you provide, as I found out more in testimony, that we've had in finance. And I'm hearing more, we all care about, continuity of service and making sure, and I think it's very unfortunate with the paratransit and the losses of money there. It remains to be seen how much, but certainly there was some loss, and we had no control over that. We can get blamed for that, but I'm not taking the blame for that one. And if we're going to take some blame, then we got to have some accountability. So on one hand, I'm leaning and saying, yeah, this makes some sense. I'm trying to get my arms around this a little bit. And we're hearing some other bus drivers saying, well, maybe we should look at this more, too. It's not so black and white. MCTS has been with us a long time. I'm not jumping on a bandwagon for somebody else. But at the same time, I want to say, well, is this really the right way to continue, too? So I have some interest in looking at it. I think we all should. Do I want to go all the way through 2014? Is this a study that's really going to, answer some questions? But I'm intrigued by the whole thing. I got to think about it a little more. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson? Supervisor Bowen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a great direction to head in. If you look at the timeline, all of 2014 is pretty much a transition phase of making this happen so that by 2015, the official switch is made by them. So I'd like to sign on as a co-sponsor if it's okay with the author. I think it's a great move for the county. We know that the county board needs to have more insight on how the system is running.
Supervisor Bowen will be added as a co-sponsor. Supervisor Stanford?
Thank you, Mr. Judge. I just had a question for Corporal Counsel if they knew. If this is approved and brought in-house, how does that affect the current lawsuit regarding the RFP? Is that irrelevant now?
Corporation Counsel, did you hear the question and have a response?
We're just Chairman Supervisors. I think without having studied this in full, but there would be no RFP pending anymore. There would be no, point to the lawsuit. So one way or another, it would seem to disappear if this was going to be the intent.
Okay, thank you. Let's hold it on.
Any other questions, comments? Ms. Dranzik, come on up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I'd just like to, from the department's perspective, I think we would have the preference of staying the course that we're on and seeing the RFP through the through its entire process. I think some of the things that have been talked about here, we feel we can bring forward to the committee and to the board for review. I think Supervisor Lipscomb brings up some valid points, and I think those are the types of things we're looking to address through a new contract and through this process. You know, unfortunately, I realize that we're in a difficult position in terms of conveying that to committee members and to board members at this point in time based on where we are. But that is the intent of what we are trying to do, what we are trying to go through with this process. Just one other point that I'd like to make with respect to timing. We're coming up to the end of the to the current contract with the current provider, MTS. Given the magnitude of the changes that we're looking at here, I think we felt it necessary to provide some additional time, and that's why we went with the schedule that we went with. Some of these other things that occurred are unfortunate, but really it gets to a place where we could at least try to build in some time through this appeal process, because as we've seen, it certainly has taken a great deal of time. And if we get to this point next year, if we are going back out for an RFP, hopefully we wouldn't see this long, lengthy delay in appeal so that we're up against the wall in terms of making a decision. So I just wanted to bring those points forward to the committee.
Supervisor Dranzik.
Thank you. And I don't know if Mr. Dranzik can answer this. I'm not too anxious to give a slant to this, if you will, whether we bring something in-house or we don't bring it in-house. I'm reminded of Act 10 when we learned that there were federal rules that required bus operators to have bargaining rights. And fortunately, the way we were set up here in Milwaukee kept us within the limits of the law and really prevented us from having some real significant issues that Act 10 would have caused. I can criticize Act 10 for, separating classes and creating a group that was subject to bargaining and another group that wasn't. That being said, we have all kinds of federal regulations around transportation. I'm sure Mr. Dranzik can respond to that. I'm also aware of IRS rules with regard to when you have a group of people, such as our bus drivers, who are solely within one contractual agreement, the independent contractor status of those employees tends to vanish under IRS rules, and we virtually become liable for everything they do because we can direct all of their activities. So there's IRS rules, there's federal transportation rules, there's all kinds of issues. I know when in the 70s, when the county took on the transit system, which was no longer financially viable as an independent system, it was created in a certain way to resolve a lot of issues. I think some of those lessons have already been lost by a board that is well removed from the 1970s. All I'm saying here is let's not go running headlong into a certain point of view. I'm willing to look at all possibilities, but the way the Lipscomb Amendment is structured is something that gets us down a path that I'm not so sure I want to say we even have the information today to start addressing or being aware of. And I don't know if Mr. Dranzik wants to add to anything I may have forgotten about what some of the ramifications of bringing something like this in-house. I do criticize the administration for, number one, not being more inclusive of the board for a major policy change. Again, I'm going to ask you, communicate with us and make us part of that process. And secondly, I'm going to criticize the administration. We're heading into a major change, which I've sat on transportation now for about 5 years. We have been working on this for at least 2 years to go to the smart card. I couldn't think of a worse time for you to be transferring management over a transit firm. And that doesn't even address all the other issues that I've heard constituents contact me about. It's just a bad time to be doing it, and I really don't know what they're thinking of when they do things like that. But I think all of this is going to be reviewed going forward. There's a lot of things for us to think about, but I'm certainly not ready to support this kind of an amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if Mr. Dranzik wants to add anything to what I already listed.
Mr. Dranzik?
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, there are there's a lot involved, yes. And I think, I guess the one thing that I can say with the Lipscomb Amendment, perhaps, versus the Mayo Amendment, is it does give some benefit of time. I think there's a lot there that we would have to look into. In terms of IRS impacts, you know, that's something that I think perhaps the Comptroller's Office could answer better than myself. In terms of FTA requirements, we just have to go through that and I guess understand what those are and maybe some of the other things that are related to bringing it in-house that maybe aren't evident today, but would have to take some time to kind of discover and work through and see exactly what it means for the county.
Supervisor Lipscomb?
Yeah, I guess I do want to respond like a little to this timing question. So, you know, and I wouldn't expect Mr. Dranzik, Director Dranzik, to have any other viewpoint at this table than the one he's sharing, which is stay the course, the administration's plan. But time is not on our side. If you want to evaluate anything else, then you can't simply stay on that course, because what's going to happen is if this thing continues to drag out, there won't be time for another RFP, or there won't be, you know, certainly there won't be time for a transition to in-house. That'll be the statement that, hey, you don't have that option anymore. You had it back last year during your budget, but now this is it. You've got a recommendation. You can vote it up or vote it down. Oh, by the way, your only option really is to go with it, because we can't give it, you can't amend it, and we can't extend MTS any longer. They're at the end of their 5 years. So this is your only option, unless you want to have a disruption in service and catastrophe, and I mean the world will end. You know, you will be backed into a corner. If I mean, you got to be able to see this handwriting on the wall. So I can understand that people would be leery, and that they need to understand it better. But at the end of the day, there are no new responsibilities as a result of this. The question is whether you outsource management to a couple people and try to shift that into that black box and pretend that you don't already have all those responsibilities. But at the end of the day, you really do. You know, we're the grantee, right? On the FTA, we're the grantee. We take on all those responsibilities. You're just trusting that your management partner is going to execute. And they're just saying, we want a different dance partner. That's not good enough for me. I want a direct chain of responsibility, and I have full confidence in the director that he can accomplish that.
Supervisor Taylor, did you have a comment?
I do. I have a question based on what Supervisor Lipscomb just stated. I guess I need to know, and maybe the members of finance need to know, whether or not it's conceivable that we do get put in a position to basically be forced to vote for only one vendor. Because if we vote no, well, then there's not enough time to do an RFP, and we can't extend with MTS. So I think that question has got to be answered. So I'm not sure if it's from Corp Counsel or what. If we cannot extend again with MTS, then I see the writing on the wall also. Because we've heard about MV for months and months now, yet I've seen nothing from the administration to be able to make a decision. And that's kind of like the MO is, wait till the last minute, hand us something, ask us to vote. We've seen this time and time again in the last year, and it's extremely frustrating for me as a, you know, representing 55,000 people to be able to do my job. And I think that question has to be answered, because if basically, you know, a year from now, whenever we're going to, you know, in the middle of summer, we're going to have to make a decision on MV or MV, I think we need to know that now. So I'm not sure who can answer that.
I guess a question, yes, maybe Corporation Counsel can address that. It seems to be some questions if the board didn't act within the budget cycle to do something, and I would think that the board could adopt a resolution next year, January, February, March, to say we want to bring it in-house, and that would still be legal to do that? Yes, no?
So.
Any further questions or discussion on this amendment? If not, would you take the roll?
Supervisors Haas?
No.
Schmidt?
No.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
No.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
No.
5 ayes, 4 noes. The motion to approve Amendment 1A036 is approved.
Okay.